Your promise held through generations, your plan to rescue here at last. Such a wonderful reminder of the way that God works through history and continues to work for the good of all things. My name's Renee, in case you can't read my name tag from where you're sitting. I'm one of the ministers here at this church, and what a wonderful privilege to be worshipping God together in this way with such beautiful music. It's wonderful to be here. Something you should know about me, I'm a reader. Sorry, that sounded more conspiratorial than I meant it to sound. I'm a reader. I love stories. I love books. What do I love about them? I love stories about interesting characters who are then thrown into these difficult situations and how they find their way out again. Because that's the thing. We expect a good end to these stories. We don't want the main character to remain in fear, in darkness, or in sorrow. That's no fun. We want the author to give us a joyful conclusion to the story. We want things to be all right by the final page. And if the author decides to change things up by giving us an unhappy ending or an ambiguous ending, we feel ripped off. Unless it's Tim Winton, in that case, we give our national treasure a free pass. But we want things to be all right by the final page. One of my favourite stories is Boy Swallows Universe. They've adapted it for screen now, so you can watch it on Netflix. It's a fascinating read. It's about a 13-year-old boy living in Queensland in the 80s. And he has a hard life dealing with school bullies. His parents are dealing drugs. His mum goes to prison. And the whole time you're wondering, how's it going to work out for this child? Will he be okay? And the answer by the end of the story is yes. Did I tell you there were going to be spoilers? Sorry, there's spoilers. It's yes, things go his way, finally. And by the end of the book, everything is all right. After dwelling in grim darkness for so much of the story, we emerge into the light and we rejoice that he gets out of that world and that he gets safe and can move on to safety. From darkness to light, from sorrow to joy, from fear to peace and safety. I love stories. Stories are wonderful because they're a chance for us to step out of ourselves for a little while and follow someone else's story and rejoice with them when things work out. But we also like to know the end of our stories. We want to know that all things will be well. We want to know that we'll be able to find a job or keep up on the payments on the house. We want to know that the kids will turn out all right, or the grandkids. We'd love the assurance that our society will grow stronger, not weaker, that wars will cease, and that the earth will endure the damage we've done to it. And one of the things Christians do when we gather together is tell stories, listen to stories, remember stories. This is especially the case at Christmas time when we tell the great story about Jesus and his birth, just like we've done tonight. And hearing that story, one of the things that comes, there's many things, but one thing that comes through so strongly for me is that Jesus came into the world at a dangerous time. His arrival was precarious. He didn't arrive in a nice home, but in shabby accommodation, away from his home, with his parentage under a cloud of suspicion. This is similar to other infancy narratives in the Bible as well. Moses was born at a time of great conflict and uncertainty. Isaac was born at the last minute. His parents are old. They didn't have a lot of time left. Things work out in the end, but it makes us ask, why all the danger and uncertainty such a key part of these stories? Well, it seems that at every step, God wants to remind us that he is the one directing all of this. History doesn't just unravel with no rhyme or reason, but God has a plan and is making it happen. He brings light from darkness, victory from defeat, joy from sorrow. The way things finally turned out, it seems so improbable to us. Baby Moses survives against all odds. Abraham and Sarah have a son. A happy coincidence, or God's hand directing every step? Jesus is born and lived in humble circumstances. A little later tonight, we're going to sing these words from Hark the Herald Angels. It goes, with the poor and mean and lowly, lived on earth, our Saviour holy. No hospital, no health care. It was rough to be born in Roman-occupied first century Judah, far from home, a humble and precarious way to enter the world. But now let's pause and take a step back and look at this from another angle. And St. Paul's letter to the Philippians helps us to do this. It shows us what this humility, what this lowliness looks like from a wider perspective. He says this in Philippians chapter 2. Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. So what Paul's describing for us here is the grandstand view, the view of things from above. Earlier tonight at the 5 p.m. service, we had a fantastic children's Christmas play. It had everything you could want. It had shepherds, it had a manger, it had the magi, it had angels. This is what it looks like inside the story. Your classic kids' nativity play is the view from the ground, like Luke 1 and 2 that we've been hearing tonight as well. Philippians 2, however, is the bird's eye view. It shows us the whole plan. And the plan is God humbles himself. It says he made himself nothing. He left his glory and his honor, and he became small and weak and breakable, just like us. An amazing act of humility. His parents weren't royalty. They weren't merchants. They weren't landowners. They were just ordinary people. The rich and powerful had health and wealth. They had doctors and clean water. They had protection, good house, warmth, clothing and security. But not Mary and Joseph. And Mary knew how lowly and vulnerable she was. She says, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. Mary had faith that God would bring this promise about. She had confidence in God, even in the face of so much uncertainty. So many things could have gone wrong. What if she had miscarried on the long walk from Galilee to Bethlehem? What if an animal had stepped on Jesus in the stable? What if he died of diarrhea, malnutrition or some disease? These are dark things to think about, I realise. But let's not forget King Herod's persecution. We haven't even gone there yet. He ordered all boys two and under to be executed. The king of Israel himself wanted Jesus dead. But the point is, God chose to work through this small new life. And God works in ways that are small and weak, that look foolish to the world. Why is this? So that he might bring joy from sorrow, so that we might learn to long for his deliverance, even in the dark times, so that when his salvation arrives, then we will really rejoice, because we know what the alternative looks like. We've been down in the valley of darkness, which makes the view from the peak so much brighter and more wonderful. God is looking after history. We see this clearly in the Bible stories, especially where babies are involved. But God is also working in us, in our lives. And that's not always so easy to see. Events take a turn for the worst. We lose a job. A loved one dies. We see the news and we think, there's so much evil in this world. But this Christmas, know this, God cares for you. God provides for you. When you put your trust in Jesus, God is really present with you by his Holy Spirit, even in the darkest times. Our God really does bring light from darkness. And he makes everything work for your good, in good and in bad circumstances. And in some strange way, that we'll only really appreciate when Jesus returns and all evil and suffering is done away with. Then we'll look back and we'll see that it was all leading to something. Well, that sounds very nice, doesn't it? But what does that have to do with us? Well, knowing all of this, it frees us up to love as he loves us. When we know how much he loves us, how he would become a weak, tiny baby at his birth, how he would live a life of flawless integrity and wisdom, and how he would die a horrible death on our behalf because he loves us so much. When we know all of that, then we can rest in that love and we can know for certain that his affection and his care is for us, not because of some vague feeling we might have, but because of the unmistakable demonstration of his love that he showed us. This also frees us up to rejoice in his saving power, the power that overcame all darkness and all evil, that breaks through the gloom of any circumstance that we might face. Because he is God, he is powerful to do it, and he loves us, and nothing can stand in the way of his commitment to us. Christmas might be a time of the year when we know we feel like we should be joyful, but often we're not. And so we feel worse because we're not joyful, if you know what I mean. Like when you wake up in the morning and you feel alone, like no one really cares for you. Or you feel doubt, another year gone. Is this what I'm supposed to be doing with my life? Or you feel so stressed at the expectations of your family that it feels like a crushing burden. Or you've just fallen out with a close friend and making things right with them just seems too difficult. Or whatever heartache you're going through. Even in the face of those things, we can look back and see the mountain of opposition that Jesus defeated during his life on earth. And we can look forward to finally being in his presence, to him defeating every enemy and every stain on this world and every disappointment in our lives when he makes this world whole again and we reach the last page in our stories. Let's pray. Dear God, at Christmas you gave us the gift of your Son. You put him in risky circumstances to show us that you are in control. You care for all people despite our situation. Help us to turn towards others in love because you first loved us. And Father, help us to be full of joy because you are for us and you save us. In Jesus' name, amen.